Every 28 seconds, a car in the U.S. is stolen. What's even more shocking is that 25% of those vehicles had the keys inside. 60% were left unlocked, and 95% had no anti-theft devices. In times like these, protect yourself from auto theft by taking extra precautions. Never leave your vehicle running or with the keys in the ignition. Always lock your doors and keep your windows closed, even when parked in front of your own home. When away, park in busy, well-lighted places and never leave valuables in plain view. Equip your car or truck with an alarm or other theft deterrent device. Never leave your vehicle registration in your car. If you do become a victim of auto theft, report it immediately. Have your make, model, license plate, and vehicle ID number available to help authorities recover your vehicle. To learn more about protecting yourself from auto theft, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Money beliefs versus money realities is our show each week with Kyle O'Dell. Kyle is a managing partner with OWRS Firm. You can check out their website at exactly those same words, owrsfirm.com. And Kyle offers a free consultation for our listeners. All you have to do is mention you heard him here on Haystack Health Radio, 303-780-7350, 303-780-7350. And with that, we'll welcome Mr. O'Dell. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Scott.
Well, again, Kyle is a managing partner, O'Dell Winkfield Roseman Ship, and Kyle is with us each week, and we cover a lot of different topics, and each week is an important topic, but here's one, Kyle, that, boy, we see a lot on, but very few people still understand, and that's the matter of Social Security.
Social Security is such a vital, vital area to, you know, for so many families with their retirement up there. So many benefits to it, you know, because that's a dollar, that's a check that, you know, is coming in every month. You can go spend it. It's taxed differently and a lot of times better than most of the accounts that you have coming in. So it's a wonderful area, you know, and it's that annuity that the government, you know, has put in place to, you know, pay you throughout your, you know, lifetime once you retire. And millions of Americans, they're depending on Social Security. For most people, it's, you know, the families that are retired out there, a lot of times it represents about 70% of the average person's income during retirement. But when we look at it, there's so many different ways to file. You know, and most families think, well, you know, it's, I talk with families all the time, Scott, and just say, you know what, what's your plan for filing for Social Security? And for most of them, they'll just say, well, I plan on taking it at 65 or when I retire at 67, or maybe I'm going to retire early at 62. And that they just think of it as an age, mm-hmm. that there's a certain benefit that's due and that's it. But there's so much more to it. In fact, when we look at it, there are, for a married couple, there are over 500 different ways to file for Social Security. A lot of different ways with, you know, regular applications, a restricted application, a spousal benefit, a widow benefit. There are so many different ways to do it depending on your situation and what's going on. We want to make sure that we get it right. And, you know, a lot of times we'll run a Social Security analysis for a family. Like I said, I'll ask a family, you know, you tell me when you want to file and how. And we'll plug that in, and we'll see what those numbers come out as over, mm-hmm. your lifetime, what it's going to look like. And then we'll run it based on what our program says here. And on average, it's about a $240,000 difference over someone's lifetime, which is, that's a lot of money. Yeah. That's a lot. Right. That's absolutely, you know, it's significant. So there was an interesting article in USA Today here recently via Motley Fool. And the article talked about, you know, several different things you can do with your Social Security, you know, and how to improve that a little bit. You know, and we're going to talk through a few things today, how we can improve Social Security, maybe provide a little education here. You know, it's one of the things that they talk about in there that is that Social Security is calculated on your top earnings of from 35 years of employment. So when we're looking at that, you know, the program is going to go back. You know, when you get your Social Security statement, Scott, when you open it up, they're on that right side. It lists out, you see all the different years, your earnings that you had that went on to your tax return. And so your benefit is calculated off of those top 35 years of earnings.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about, you know, how that benefit is calculated, but it's off your top 35 years. So one of the things to think about there is, you know, if it's off your best 35, maybe you've only worked 25 years. So that means you have 10 years of zeros figured into the equation there. And so for every year that you work, it greatly impacts that benefit because you're going to swap out a zero. If you're making a $75,000 a year income, you're going to swap out a zero with a $75,000, and that's going to greatly enhance that benefit. It's going to make a tremendous difference on it. So, you know, when we're looking at that, one or two extra years of work, if you're on the fence, well, should I keep working? Should I not? One, you need to put a plan in place, a financial plan, to double check those things and making sure that you have enough money.
Sure.
But when we're looking at that Social Security benefit, working an extra year or two can make a tremendous difference over your lifetime.
And you can go to just the Social Security website and get that, because if I'm not mistaken, did they quit sending out those forms?
They did for a period of time.
Okay.
For a period of time. So, and the way it works now, it's been a little while since I looked it up, but I believe what it is once you reach age 60, then they start sending out the form to you. It's either every year or every other year.
Okay.
But you can always go to socialsecurity.gov.
And make sure you go to that site.
Yes. There's some offshoot sites you don't want to end up on.
Right.
Yeah. Go to socialsecurity.gov. You can go on there and see your statement. It's going to ask you some pretty good security questions to get in there. And sometimes that's a little frustrating. You can get yourself locked out. It's going to a lot of times ask you questions based on your credit report. You know, what car did you purchase back in 2012 and who was it financed through? And, you know, those fun questions.
Right.
So, but socialsecurity.gov, you can hop on there and get an updated statement. And, you know, with that, one of the things that you want to go back and look at would be when you're looking at your, because the calculation for your benefit is based on your top 35 years of earnings, you always want to hop on there at least once a year and see what the Social Security Administration has down as your previous year's income. Go back and check it. And because for most people, as they're heading into retirement, a lot of times those are their peak earnings years.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that those numbers are correct. Go back and check it at least once a year. Hop on there and do a little due diligence and make sure those numbers are right.
Is it hard to get them correct? It's kind of like, you know, with the credit reports. I mean, I've had issues. I've had seen friends have issues. You try to get that corrected. Man, ain't no way. Are they pretty good at helping you out? And
they're decent. You know, there you want to set an appointment with the Social Security, one of the Social Security offices here in Denver. And, you know, to be quite honest, I'm not sure what that process is, but I'm sure what that process is going to be is that you're going to have to take your tax return in and show them a copy of that. So, but yeah, you certainly want to double check that every year. That's a big piece of just making sure that they get it right.
Right. So the soonest that you can take Social Security is 62. All right. What's the oldest that you've had somebody come in and say that's when I want the effective date to be?
Yeah. So, you know, I have people come in all the time that, you know, that maybe want to take it at 62, but they're still working. So one of the challenges there is if you're still working, depending on your income, you're not going to be able to take that benefit. So if your income is above I believe the number is 17,400. If your income is above 17,400, you're not going to receive really any benefit off of that Social Security. But if you have a part-time job, maybe you make 10 or 15,000 a year and you're age 62, you're retired, you can get that Social Security benefit at that point. The year, you know, and not to, you know, get complicated with Social Security and things, but, you know, I think a key is, you know, when you're looking at it, the Social Security Administration, if you set an appointment to go in and meet with someone in their offices, one of the things that you really need to understand is that they're great at what they do. They're very knowledgeable. The problem is they are prohibited from giving you advice. They can't give you advice as to, hey, Scott, you know what? you ought to wait 3 more years to take Social Security based on your health, your assets, your tax situation, everything that you have going on. But maybe your wife should go ahead and file, and maybe you should go ahead and file for a spousal benefit and get half of hers right now while she files. You know, they can't talk you through those scenarios. Right. The only thing that they can do is say, Scott, well, out of the 500 plus ways there are to file, here's your best way to file today. We can't talk to you about tomorrow. We can't talk to you about your other assets. We can't talk to you about your health, your taxes, any of that other stuff. We can just say, this is the best way to file today. And so, you know, that's where meeting with a financial professional, I think, really plays a big impact, a big key in that. But, you know, when you're looking at it, once you reach your full retirement age, so let's say, you know, and when we look at it, for those that are listening, if you were born between 1943 and 1954, so if you're born within that window, then your full retirement age is age 66. Okay.
Okay.
Anything after 1954, every year after that, 1955, 1956, then that full retirement age goes up by 2 months. So
if I was born in 58.
58.
I was born in 58.
Okay. So that's 4 years after.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to add 2 months to each one of those years. So that'd be 8 months.
8 months.
So yours will be age 66 and 8 months.
Gotcha.
That will be your full retirement age. And the highest full retirement age right now is age 67. So the year that you hit that full retirement age, you're allowed to take your Social Security benefit and earn a wage up to around $44,000. Okay. Now, once you're past that year, so let's say that in 2017, Scott, you hit your full retirement age. So now we're into the following year, which is 2018. And now you want to take your Social Security benefit, but let's say you're still working. You can earn as much as you want. You can be Warren Buffett and get your Social Security benefit.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it graduates up depending on whether you're working or what you're doing there. And then at age 70, it automatically kicks on. That's when it's going to turn on if you haven't initiated it by then. But there are a lot of different ways to file. You know, a lot of different ways to navigate through this. Of course, you can always, you know, find some things online, but Google doesn't always have the answers, doesn't always have the right answers.
Yeah, for sure.
And the reason it doesn't always have the right answers is because we don't know what questions to ask.
Right.
And that's where, you know, I think working with a professional to help you to get those answers, you know, running that Social Security analysis, that's usually something we can do in our office for someone. If they bring in that report, bring in the Social Security report, hop online and print that off, bring that into our office. We'll run a free analysis for you. Takes about 20 minutes or so to ask you a few questions, put that together, and happy to do that.
Give Kyle's office a call, 303-780-7350, 303-780-7350. And Peggy's,
yep.
She's in this week.
She's here. She's here. So, yeah, call Peggy. She has my calendar. She can set something up where we can get together for about 20 minutes and run one for you real quick.
All right. And for more information, you can check out their website, owrsfirm.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this whole process of Social Security. If you've got questions, we'll open up the phone lines, and you can talk to Kyle directly, 303-477-5600.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When people see the new, beautiful Cat Lodge at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they're pretty impressed. With its sleek condo spaces, stunning wall murals reflecting Colorado mountainscapes, custom-built cat trees made from real aspen and spruce, and a colorful and entertaining fish tank, we couldn't be happier to show it off. The Cat Lodge is a special place for cats of all ages and sizes to hang out when their families are away, providing much-needed peace and tranquility. Whether your special friend loves to lounge, nest, explore, or be entertained, you can rest assured that your special companion will find something that suits his or her fancy. The atmosphere is relaxing and stress-free and filled with cat-friendly activities and objects of interest. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we understand how stressful it can be to leave a beloved pet behind when you have to be away. Call Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center with your questions about our new cat lodge and our cat boarding services. 303-708-8050 or visit lonetreevet.com.
You were injured in an accident. You went to the doctor and you thought your insurance would cover it. But that was before you realized how the insurance company actually works, and before you knew how long your pain would really last. So now you're stuck with a bunch of bills that you can't afford, and the nagging pain has been keeping you up all night, making you feel like you're gonna lose your mind every day. You are not alone. There is an answer. Call Flesh & Beck Injury Attorneys. Flesh & Beck have the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh & Beck Injury Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if Flesh & Beck can help you get the compensation that you deserve.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Kyle O'Dell. Money Beliefs versus Money Realities is our show each week with Kyle. And again, you can check out their website, owrsfirm.com. If you'd like to take advantage of this Social Security analysis, give Kyle's office a call, 303-780-7350. 303-780-7350. Ask for Peggy. I mentioned you heard Kyle here on the show, and she will take great care of you. So, Kyle, a lot of things, you know, we've heard over the years, you know, and will Social Security even be there? Yep. I mean, so your thoughts.
Let's talk about facts.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does the media like to do? You know, if they put a, you know, a great headline up about Social Security that, hey, you know what, Social Security is going to be there when you retire. No one's going to read it. But, you know, they put a headline up about, hey, the Social Security trust fund is going to go bankrupt, even though it's still, you know, another 17 years out, people are going to pick up the article and read it. So when we're looking at it to fix the Social Security trust fund, so that it doesn't run out of money, there've been a number of different proposals. There are three that I'll talk about here real quick, but when we look at it, I don't know the 2017 numbers yet, but in 2016, there was an excess of several billion dollars that went into the fund more than what came out.
Okay.
So that's a fund that is still growing. It's still moving along. So, you know, the media just loves to create a headline that's going to, you know, wrankle everyone's feathers a little bit. That's
sure.
It. That's all it is. So when we look at it, you know, employees, we all, you know, what gets taken out of our paycheck is we pay a 6.2% tax on Social Security. Our employer pays an additional 6.2% tax. So that's a 12.5% tax, let's call it.
And then for those that are self-employed.
Yep. So typically you're going to pay up both ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, in order to fix the Social Security trust fund, one thing that they could do is increase that tax overall by about an additional 2.8% total. That would fund it. Another fix is right now, if you have an income that goes up to $128,000, you pay taxes on Social Security. Anything above that $128,000, you don't pay taxes on Social Security. Anything above the $128,000. And so another fix would be to just lift that lid. So you pay taxes no matter what your income is, that 6.2% tax, or they could move back the full retirement age on everyone. You know, there are a number of fixes. Congress, you know, they don't do anything until the 11th hour, so I don't see them doing anything on this for a while. They have made a couple of adjustments along the way. Back in 2015, they made an adjustment. There was a talk on, I think it was C-SPAN last week that I was watching. Shoot me for doing that, but I happened to be flipping through. It was, and they were talking about Social Security.
I can never honestly say. No.
Yeah.
I was watching C-SPAN the other day.
I think the one and only time. So I'm flipping through and they're talking about Social Security. So I stopped for a minute. I watched for about 5 minutes. And one of the things that they talked about, the gentleman, I forget his name, but he's the head actuary that runs Social Security and everything. He was talking about how just the interest that they've made over the last several years and some adjustments to the program, that it looks like the program has been funded an additional 4 more years on top of what they had been projecting. Mm-hmm. So things are looking better and better. But to fix it, it's very, very simple fixes. It's literally going to take them 5 minutes. It's just not high on the priority list right now.
Right.
You know, but some of the things that are looking a little better, which were not looking good, were Social Security disability and Medicaid. Those were looking bad, but because of just how they're running the programs now a little bit more efficiently, those are actually looking a little bit better right now too. So, I would not worry. Those that are close to retirement, 55, 60, that age group and on up, I really would not have a concern about the Social Security program.
Kind of looking back at this article we were talking about that was in USA Today. So very important, get your statement, make sure all the figures are correct. Yep. If not, get them corrected.
Yep.
And then there was another point then, and it said something you want to look out for is not paying your taxes or student loans.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the effect there?
So, you know, what that's talking about there is that, you know, you're going to receive your Social Security benefit, but if you are behind on your taxes, you're behind on student loans and so forth, that, you know, those Social Security payments could potentially get garnished. And so that is an issue there. You know, something to always stay up on top of is, you know, more than anything else is, you know, we never want to have the IRS after us, you know, as Al Capone, you know, proved, right? So the only way that they were able to get him. So, yeah, you know, stay on top of those student loans and especially his taxes, always stay out of trouble on that end. But, you know, that is an issue there where you could get those payments garnished potentially if you're not staying up on top of things.
Right. So let's kind of look at the consultation. People want to call you. They want to do this Social Security analysis. What's kind of the interview process from that standpoint? Because, again, we can Google things. We can say, what do I need to know about Social Security? You're going to read a lot of stuff, not going to understand. But, again, everybody's different, as you've said a million times on this show. Yep. Every situation's different.
It is. So. It is. So when we get together, you know, I like to, you know, first of all, Peggy makes a great French press. So we're going to sit down in the office. We're going to have a great cup of coffee or cup, you know, you want tea, whatever you want. Sit down, just have a great conversation. We're going to get to know each other a little bit. I want to know what you're looking for. You know, the way I look at it, it's like if you want to build a house, tell me what kind of house you want built. Mm-hmm. What do you want? What fits your comfort level? And I look at retirement the same way. What's a comfortable retirement to you? You know, and maybe we know off the bat that we just don't have enough assets to give us truly the comfortable retirement that we're looking for, but let's make the best
of what
of that situation.
Yeah. It's not going to get any better ignoring it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so let's get the most out of Social Security. Let's make sure all of our assets are in a good spot. So we're going to go through and talk about, you know, what other assets do you have? Are you still working? How long are you going to keep working? You know, tell me about your mortgage, your house, what's going on there. Is that way we understand and can take into account when it's going to be paid off or will it ever be paid off? And if it's not, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different ways to reduce that mortgage where maybe, you know, my job is to come up with some good ideas and think outside the box. I've been doing this for a long time. So, you know, maybe we look at the mortgage and we come back and say, well, hey, you know, we've paid it down to $100,000, but your payment's still $1,500 a month and you're having trouble retiring, you know, because of that $1,500 payment right now. Well, maybe we refinance that mortgage onto a new 30-year note.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to pay it off this week. And that's going to lower your payment down to $700 a month, let's say. So, you know, now you can retire, or maybe we look at doing a reverse mortgage. There's so many options, so many things that we can explore and talk about to think outside the box to make retirement more comfortable. You know, so getting to know each other and, you know, what's your health history like with yourself, your family, your spouse, you know, so that way we can take into account when do we want to, you know, sure, file for Social Security and what, you know, what makes sense on that. And a big key, you know, if we look at it, here's where people make two mistakes. One is 74% of people that are taking Social Security have filed early and are taking a reduced benefit. The government wants you to take a reduced benefit. Okay. So you didn't file the right way.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we do. 3 out of 4 people do it wrong. I wouldn't say wrong, but maybe not the most efficient way.
And once you make a mistake here, it's made.
It's made. Well, you have 12 months to fix it.
Okay.
You got 12 months. Okay. So if you have filed, if it's been less than 12 months, then you should be able to fix it.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. But once we're there, you know, and here's a big key. If I have a husband and wife, let's say that doesn't matter who, let's say her benefit is, or let's, you know, when we look at the generation that's taking Social Security right now, traditionally the men for the most part of, you know, we're the breadwinners, right? So let's say his Social Security was $2,000 a month and hers was $1,000. Let's say that there's just a couple years of age difference in there, 2 or 3 years. He's a couple years older. Well, as soon as one of them passes away, it doesn't matter who. Now, odds are it's going to be the guy. But as soon as one of them passes away, the smaller Social Security amount, the $1,000 a month, generally stops. Now, the $2,000, the higher benefit's going to remain for the wife in this case. So the reason that we really want to work to optimize the Social Security benefit, especially the larger amount, and this is where I always have to have a conversation with the guys, the reason we need to get the most out of that $2,000 amount and maybe wait the longest to turn that one on so that it does get a growth factor on it is because it's not for you, it's for your wife. On average, women outlive us guys by 14 years. That's the national average, according to the Social Security Administration. Hmm. So that benefit is not for you. Because as soon as you pass away, the guy, her income's going to drop, and by that scenario, it's going to drop by 33%.
Right.
And so from there, now she's got just that single Social Security amount coming in. It is the larger amount, but that's why we want to get the most out of it, because that's the one that you're so if you love your wife, you got to get the most out of that one.
Right.
And so, and 98% of recipients out there that are taking it, the widow or widower benefit, they're women. And so it's certainly a huge impact. When we're looking at doing this, we've got to do it right. You got one chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tremendous difference. And Social Security is taxed differently than all your other income. It's taxed differently than your IRAs and 401ks. It's taxed differently than your money that's not in IRAs, just the money you're paying capital gains on. It has a greater tax benefit to it. It's a tremendous benefit, you know? And so, you know, it would take, where I would look at this, it should be its own asset class to really be taken seriously. When we look at just, let's say we had a family that had a $30,000 a year Social Security benefit coming in, just that alone, that you would need ballpark of a $700,000 lump sum to create that kind of benefit using just the 4% rule as a real general rule of thumb.
Right.
But you would need a $700,000 lump sum of cash to generate a $30,000 a year income. It's a tremendous benefit for families. We've got to get it right.
Sure. Again, give Kyle a call. This Social Security analysis that he will do for you, if you'll call and mention you heard him here on the show, Money Beliefs versus Money Realities, here with Haystack Help. He will get you fixed up, and it is a free consultation. So 303-780-7350, 303-780-7350, and their website is owrsfirm.com. Kyle, thank you very much, sir.
Always great, Scott.
Appreciate it. All right. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Tired of walking into your local gun store and seeing the same old thing? Hey, let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. You'll find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. Rampart Firearms is also a great stop for all of your hunting and shooting needs. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol, from predator hunting to your next big game trip, Rampart Firearms is located in Douglas County at the foot of the Rockies, just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe in Sedalia. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and hey, you'll only pay 4% tax on your purchase. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Or visit them at rampartfirearms.com.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
And we are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley, now joined along with Marie Christine, as we are most every Monday. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, let's go to the phones and talk to the good doctor of Haystack Help, and that is Dr. Shane Stedman. How are you, sir?
I am great. How are you both doing?
We're doing wonderful as well, sir. Thank you so much. So, you know, our topic last week, and we were talking about thyroid and, boy, all the different areas of our body that it affects, which is about everything, Marie. I think we came to that conclusion.
Every cell in the body is
exactly
what we learned.
But I wanted to talk with you a little bit. First of all, I had somebody tell me to ask you this about thyroid cancer and, you know, how big of a threat is that to people? So just so I don't forget that, because I told them I'd ask, what about thyroid cancer? Should people really be concerned with that?
So thyroid cancer, here's a great thing about the thyroid is that thyroid cancer is very, 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 very small percentage of thyroid disorders.
Okay.
And even within the thyroid cancers that are out there, you have benign, which means that it's okay. Like, and then you have malignant, which is the scary kind.
Right.
So even in those that world, like out of the cancers, like 1%. So cancer usually accounts for like, I think it's like 1 to 2% of thyroid issues. And then the 1% of that 1 to 2% is actually malignant.
So just so because you have like, something wrong with your thyroid doesn't necessarily mean that you have cancer.
No, not at all. That's, yeah, it's a very, very small percentage. So it's out there. And that's, I think people who are trained in dealing with the thyroid should, you know, they should definitely palpate your thyroid and to make sure there's no like nodules or kind of bumps or lumps in the thyroid. And if you do feel a bump or a lump, then you go and get an ultrasound done. And then you'll have an ultrasound. And then based on the way it looks on ultrasound, they can kind of give you an idea if it's benign or malignant. And then if there is kind of any hesitation or mixed feelings about the findings, then what they'll do is they'll actually do a fine needle aspiration. So meaning that they'll actually take a little needle and they'll kind of inject it into that little lump, and they'll pull out the cells, and then they'll look at the cells and they'll determine if the cells are good or if they're bad.
Marie just got chill bumps when you said little needle.
I'm not a big fan of needles, I'll admit, right. But probably.
Is there a little needle? Yeah, it's only little if it's not going into you, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, so the nice thing about cancer or dealing with the thyroid in general is like you get a bunch of people that come in your office that you're helping, and it's a very small percentage that's going to have cancer and is going to have something that's cancerous, and then out of that percentage is going to be even smaller. So really not a thing to worry about in general, but it's always good to find somebody that knows how to double check. And what's even more kind of ironic when it comes to the thyroid is that the more lumps and bumps you have, the less likely it is that it's cancerous.
Right.
So it's almost like the more scary and kind of weird feeling and bumpy or goiter or big or whatever, if it looks kind of scary, it's probably not a big deal.
So are there...
It's a really interesting gland.
Right, right. Well, and actually, I should double check at risk of sounding ignorant. Your thyroid is in your throat, right?
Yes, your thyroid's in your throat. So it kind of looks like a butterfly, and it's in the kind of the bottom part of your throat. So everyone says, you kind of know it if you've seen people walk around that kind of looks like the very bottom of the throat right above their collarbone kind of looks swollen, you know, kind of like inflamed and kind of swollen. That's where your thyroid is. And those are kind of when we're doing consultations, that stuff that I'll look at their neck and go, you know, it looks like your thyroid's a little bit swollen. And then you palpate and make sure there's nothing bad.
So if somebody's looking in the mirror themselves and wanting to see if they can notice anything wrong with their thyroid, they're looking sort of right above their collarbone.
Yep. About 2 fingers above your collarbone is kind of right where that thyroid is. So you can kind of feel on the right side, and you can see if there's any lumps or bumps, and then you can feel on the other side, see if there's any lumps or bumps. And then actually, one of the things that you do with examining the thyroid is you take a sip of water, and you swallow. And when you do, you'll see the thyroid gland actually move.
Oh.
So we actually feel for the movement, and then we can look to see if there's a little movement in there, and if it's, you know, if it's free and everything is good, then it's usually a good sign.
Scott,
you know, and also you can kind of see too, like if the thyroid is really big, when you take that sip of water and you see a big mass moving up and down in your neck, then that usually means your thyroid's enlarged.
I see. Yeah, Scott and I are sitting here in the studio rubbing our throats, trying. We don't feel anything lumpy, so I
yeah,
think we're good.
A good thing. Yeah.
Now you differentiated, Dr. Sedman, between thyroid cancer and thyroid disorders, and how cancers are like a tiny percentage. Is there any difference in symptoms between those two?
You know, it's so weird. When you get into cancers, you can have hypothyroid symptoms. So there may not be any kind of symptoms at all.
Hmm.
And this is sometimes where it gets a little bit kind of, it can get unnerving, you know, when you know too much. But actually, so here's a funny story. So I had a patient and that she had multiple nodules in her thyroid. And so we, you know, sent her out just to make sure, came back totally clean. You know, she just had some inflammation in her thyroid and she has some nodules. Now, nodules are actually pretty common. As you get older, the chances of getting a nodule tends to go up. So it's something like 70% of the population or 70% of people will have a nodule at the age of 70, and 80% will have a nodule, you know, in their 80s, and 90% of the people have a nodule in their 90s. So it literally kind of goes up just like that. So it's not that drastic. So, but you always just double check. So we had a patient and we sent her out, had nodules, came back, it's negative. her mom actually worked with my wife at the time, and she was actually describing kind of like where the nodule was, and the mom felt a little bump in her throat. She went and had it checked out, and it ended up being cancerous.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's like how bizarre it is. So there's like no thyroid symptoms, no nothing. It just happened to be cancerous. So the doctors removed that nodule, and now she's fine. So, but if it wasn't for her like describing what her daughter was going through, she would have never felt that bump. I mean, that's, so we actually, with a lot of our patients, even like just examining our patients, I usually go through and I feel the thyroid gland and I feel the lymph nodes and I feel the muscles of the neck. And we just, I mean, it takes literally 2 seconds. I mean, so you just, you know, you have them swallow, you feel around, you make sure there's nothing weird that you need to go have checked out. So
right,
it's an interesting gland.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, you ever get people in the office that go through all the different symptoms and talk about what we talk about, you know, the fatigue, the constipation, I mean, all the weight gain, all the things, but then, hey, it's not your thyroid, it's something else. I mean, what are other things then that if you get some of these same symptoms, but it's not the thyroid, what are other things you look at?
You know, there's a lot of things, and definitely that's a great question. Because a lot of people, and that actually happens, I was even talking to a lady today. She lives in Texas, and she's going to come into town. And she found me, you know, in a thyroid book. So I was mentioned in a book, and so she called the office, and she said, you know, I really don't have any thyroid symptoms, and the doctors can't find anything. They say everything is normal. She goes, but I have all these symptoms I was reading in this book. You know, and so that actually happens a lot. And one of the things that we do, and this is why we run blood work, is you want to look at blood work and you want to see what else is going on. Now, there's things that mimic kind of that same thyroid dysfunction, and they say really anything that's metabolic can do that. So meaning, you know, hormonal imbalances, blood sugar imbalances, inflammation, all those different things can actually kind of cause very similar symptoms of fatigue and brain fog and depression, even anxiety, sleep issues, constipation issues. Those can be caused by other systems too. So even when people come in our office and they go, you know, I was telling my friend, you know, I had some people over for dinner and I was telling my friend about all her thyroid symptoms, you know, all the symptoms I have. And they go, you know, it sounds like you have a thyroid issue. And I looked up on Google and sure enough, I have them all. So we don't just run and say, well, you must have thyroid. That's why you got to look at the blood work. So if everything comes back negative on the thyroid, well, you know, there's probably something else like hormones. So even hormones can cause hair loss, you know, if they're out of balance. You know, so we look at hormones and blood sugar and inflammation and all those other things.
Well, and that's one of the real strengths of integrated health systems, Dr. Stedman, is that you don't just take the time to listen about all the symptoms that people have, but you look at it and say, okay, what is causing these symptoms? And you're not just going to assume, oh, they need this medication.
Absolutely. Because each symptom that a person has can have, geez, 4, 5, 10 or even more, you know, causes to it. And even when I was in school, we used to laugh because, you know, you have to take pathology, which is a study of diseases. So you have to take pathology 1 and pathology 2 and pathology 3. And it's funny because all these diseases have headaches in them. So for like an entire year or so of taking pathology courses, you pretty much diagnose yourself with every single disease known to man, because most all diseases have a common feature of headaches.
Right.
You know, so when you look at like fatigue, it's like, man, that could be blood sugar, hormones, neurotransmitters. And so just to go based on that person's symptom and then prescribe a supplement or a medication based on that symptom is crazy making. So you got to find out why that symptom is there and who's causing it.
Sure.
And then that's the piece that we address.
Right. Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617, free consultation. Dr. Stedman is kind enough to offer our listeners. All you have to do is mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio, 303-781-5617. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the medication side versus the supplement side and how you go about defining which way your patient needs to go, whether it's actually on some medications versus the supplements. We'll be right back.
Medicare. There are so many questions. What to enroll in and what coverage will be best for you? Figuring out when to enroll.
Where can you go to get all of your questions answered? That's easy. GIA Insurance. Since 1984, Group Insurance Analyst has been helping folks just like you. No gimmicks or fees, just honest help and guidance. Avoiding the most common mistakes in Medicare can make the difference between having good financial and health security or not. Perhaps the biggest mistake you can make is assuming that your health insurance will stay the same when you turn 65. Don't wait. Call the Medicare Help Team at GIA Insurance, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Or stop by at 9195 West 44th Avenue in Wheat Ridge. GIA Insurance is an official Haystack Help registered company and a member of SeniorResourceOfColorado.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical. You'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. We work with your insurance company, and you can rest assured that your roofing project will be finished on time and on budget. We understand the difficulties and stress that damage to your home's roof can bring. Let the highly trained staff at M4 Roofing and Gutters come out and give you a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project. Call today, 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
When should I begin Social Security so that I can maximize my benefits? Have you been wondering what is right for your retirement planning? Dot Mechtenberg offers a free consultation. Don't make a mistake. Call Dot today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley, along with Marie Christine. Dr. Shane Stedman is our guest, talking a little bit about our thyroid and different issues you can have with that. And again, Dr. Stedman's office is really, really the best place I would start if you feel like you're having those issues. And you know what? If you don't feel like you are having thyroid issues, but you just know you're not getting any better and not feeling good, give them a call, 303-781-5617. Highly recommend Dr. Stedman. Now, let's talk a little bit about medications versus supplements. Of course, two totally different things there. But at what point do you see, after some treatments there, where a person might need to get on some type of medication?
Well, if they have, you know, thyroid, going back to the cancer, if they have thyroid cancer and that had to be removed, or maybe a large amount of the thyroid tissue had to be removed, then medication is definitely needed. Mm-hmm. If they've had Graves' disease, then medication is definitely needed.
And is usually that for life then? I mean,
when you get into those cases like Graves' disease or some of your cancers, or if they remove the thyroid for any reason, those medications, those are going to be for life.
Okay.
And you definitely want to be on those medications for life, because the thyroid, and we've talked about this, back in the past and even I think last week, but the thyroid, it impacts every part of your body. So you want to make sure that if your thyroid isn't able to produce the thyroid hormone, that you need to substitute that with something else.
Right, because you need those hormones.
You got to have those hormones or things just start going crazy. So it's important to get those medications, into a person. So Graves' disease, or if you had your thyroid removed, or if you had thyroid cancer, they had to take out a chunk, or even if it just impacted the gland enough that you needed medications, and that's super important.
So Dr. Sebin, is that where you sort of will work hand in hand with someone's regular doctor to get that under control?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, one of the things that we'll do with patients is if somebody has to be on a medication, let's say Synthroid is probably the most popular out there. So somebody has to be on Synthroid. Well, that's a synthetic T4, and your body still needs to have proper conversion. So this is where we can still come into play and say, can we make sure that the medication you're taking is being converted properly? And the two biggest areas of conversion are the liver and the digestive tract. So if somebody has to take Synthroid, then it would make sense in my mind to make sure that their liver is working and that their digestion is working, because we want to make the most out of the medication they're taking so that they don't have to keep getting it bumped up and bumped up and bumped up. So to help with the conversion of it, I think is a great plan. So that's where we can work with the doctors together. Kind of another area is with Graves' disease. They need to be on that medication. You want to make sure that the thyroid is not overacting. But the number one reason why the thyroid is overacting is because the immune system is involved. So if the doctor has control of the Graves' disease with medication, why can't we go to look to support the immune system? And if somebody is not eating the way they're supposed to, that can make the immune system go, inflamed. If somebody has, let's say, a viral infection, that can flare up the immune system. If somebody has wicked allergies because all this cottonwood has been flying around for the past couple of weeks, drive their immune system. So from a holistic or an alternative or natural standpoint, there are things that we can do with the patient to make sure that there's nothing that's making their immune system, go out of whack. So therefore, I think it makes the job of the medical doctor way easier. Sometimes I think that's kind of our job. If I can make the patient and change their life around, maybe change how they're eating and how they're doing things, then hopefully they don't need to take as many medications, or maybe we just made their doctor's life so much easier.
Well, and that's
that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
Well, exactly right. And for somebody listening right now who is on thyroid medication, you need Dr. Sedman. You need your regular doctor and you need Dr. Sedman to get your body overall in the right place it needs to be so that your medication can help you.
And do you see Dr. Stedman sometimes, and I'm sure, every doctor has made some where you got some misdiagnosis, but do you see some, from the medical world where people come to you and unfortunately they were told something that they really didn't need that and you've been able to help them?
We have, and I think the biggest thing that we see is that when just the TSH is ran, we talked a little bit about numbers and kind of names last week, and the TSH is your thyroid stimulating hormone. When that alone is ran and it's elevated, then there's a lot of times patients are placed on medications, and it feels like it's a little bit of a knee jerk. Oh, you have high TSH, here's your medication. Instead of, and this is where I don't want to say necessarily it's misdiagnosed, but nobody's dug deeper, meaning that why is your TSH elevated? Because if we knew why your TSH was elevated, then it can actually become a different treatment plan. So you have some people with autoimmune diseases that can make the TSH go up. If you're not converting your hormones, that makes the TSH go up. Even women that are on birth control or hormone replacement therapies, that can alter the conversion of thyroid hormones, and that can make the TSH go up. So just to kind of knee-jerk and say, oh, TSH is high, here's your medication, what I would love to see more often, and you are actually seeing this now, which is pretty cool, even in traditional medicine, is you're starting to see the digging deeper piece. Like, well, let's look at T3 and T4 and free T3 and free T4 and T3 uptake and, you know, thyroid antibodies and all these other markers that tell us why is the TSH up. And I think that's where we see, I guess, a misdiagnosis in a way. And it's being diagnosed correctly. I just don't think they're going after the what's causing the TSH to go up. They're just giving medication for it.
Well, and Dr. Stedman, we just have a couple minutes left here, but you've mentioned the word conversion a couple of times. Make sure that the conversion with your hormones is happening. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so a lot of hormones need conversion, meaning that it goes from one compound to another compound. So for the instance of thyroid, your body primarily, like 93% of what's made by the gland is T4. So T4 is just four iodine molecules put together with, it's called tyrosine, and it forms T4, and that's your thyroid hormone. It doesn't do anything. It's inactive. So your body has to convert an inactive product to an active product. So this conversion takes place, about 60% of the conversion actually takes place in your liver. So T4 then travels. Remember, I think we talked about the Uber last week. I think that was the fun part.
Yes, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes the Uber over to the liver. And the liver says, well, I'm going to take one of the iodines away from you, and I'm going to turn you into T3.
Okay.
And T3 actually now is what your cells can use. So then it gets back in the Uber, and it takes off to different tissues where it drops off the T3 to impact every cell in the body.
So something that you can do from the supplements end is make sure that liver is healthy so that when the regular doctor prescribes that thyroid medicine, it will actually be effective, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely how we look at it. If 60% of it is transformed in the liver, well, let's make the liver work well so we can get the most out of what they're taking. So they can't get the, you know, it's just nice. And we've seen some people where they actually do so much better with this kind of method that their doctor actually decreases their medication consumption, which is pretty awesome.
Which is great.
We're making their physiology better.
No kidding. Yep. Well, Dr. Stedman, hey, thank you. Always great information. Next week, we'll get into our little supplements a little bit more. And, you know, then I'd like to also, and I made a note to remind myself, but, you know, are there things we can do to keep our thyroid happy and healthy? So we'll talk about that with Dr. Stedman next week. 303-781-5617. Marie, thank you very much.
Good to be here.
And Dr. Stedman, thank you, sir, and we'll be in touch. And thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.